Your call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss today's primary race for Ohio's 11th congressional district. 13 Democrats are on the ballot, but the front runners are Nina Turner and Chantel Brown. The primary will determine the replacement for Marsha Fudge, who left Congress earlier this year to run the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The district includes Cleveland, Ohio, and it's solidly Democratic. So the winner of today's primary will almost certainly go to Washington, D.C. Nina Turner is a former state senator who has the support from Senator Bernie Sanders and Ed Markey, Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cori Bush, and Katie Porter. Nina Turner also has support from the Sunrise Movement, the SEIU, the Working Families Party, and National Nurses United. She's been endorsed by the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Ohio's largest newspaper. Chantel Brown, a Cuyahoga County Council member and Democratic Party chair, is being supported by Hillary Clinton and Representatives James Clyburn and Stacey Plaskett. Chantel Brown also has support from the United Auto Workers, the United Steel Workers, and two major PACs, Democratic Majority for Israel and the Congressional Black Caucus. Joining us to talk about this important race is Ryan Grimm, D.C. Bureau Chief for The Intercept. Hi, Ryan. Thanks so much for joining us. Hi, Ryan. Are you with us?
Oops, sorry. Yes, I'm here. It's great to be
okay.
here. Sorry.
Great to have you. Thank you. We're also joined by John Nichols, National Affairs Correspondent for The Nation, author of many books, including The Fight for the Soul of the Democratic Party. Hi, John. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. It's great to be with you.
It's great to have you. So, John, the winner of today's race will almost certainly go to Washington, D.C. First off, tell us why this race is so important.
Well, it's important for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, it is being seen, for better or worse, as a test of this fight for the soul of the Democratic Party. And it's a primary that will tell us a lot about the strength of different forces that Ryan and I and others have spent a lot of time covering over the last many years. The Bernie Sanders wing of the party versus what is sometimes still referred to as the Hillary Clinton wing of the party, progressives versus moderates. But it goes deeper than that, because this is a race where you're really seeing a test of whether folks want to expand the squad, so to speak. We have in the House of Representatives now a growing group of members who are deeply committed to economic and social and racial justice, to saving the planet, to changing our priorities as regards war and peace. And those folks have been far more aggressive. You're literally seeing it right now on the steps of the Capitol with Cori Bush and others pushing for a genuine response, a necessary response to the end of the protection for renters. And so we have a test whether folks are going to vote for something like that, someone who will join in those fights, or someone who would be a more traditional member of Congress. And both candidates are relatively progressive, but there's a big difference there in their approach to the House of Representatives. And the last thing I'll say is it has real meaning for the Democratic leadership in the House of Representatives, because if Nina Turner is elected, you're going to see someone who is very independent and very willing to put a lot of pressure on leadership, again, on these economic, social, and racial justice issues.
John, the point you make about Cori Bush is so important, given that she decided to spend the night at the Capitol and then people joined her, has given the eviction moratorium so much more media attention.
You're totally right. And you see, this is one of the things about politics. Most media, and Ryan's a huge exception to this, so he will be complimented in this regard. Most media doesn't know how to cover politics. Most media covers politics as personalities. And even this race in Ohio is being covered with an intense kind of personality overlay. But the reality is that it comes down to issues. It comes down to fundamentals in people's lives, like the eviction moratorium. And it's the question of, do these issues get kind of lost in the mix of official policymaking? Do they get lost in the mix of discussions about personalities and who's up, who's down? Or are they highlighted? Do they come to the forefront? Is this what the fight is about? And one of the things that's very striking about the squad, if you will, to use the shorthand, but also striking about a lot of people who are kind of coming up seeking to run for office at this point. Nina Turner has experience in office, but she fits into this group, is that they're saying they want to go to Washington, and if they have to sleep on the steps, they will sleep on the steps. If they have to withhold a vote on an issue, they will withhold a vote on an issue until there are negotiations. It's just this more aggressive approach to representing people. And I think that scares a lot of folks in Washington, that suggests a connection between elected officials and their constituents and movements around the country that is very, very different than the managerial politics we've seen in recent years from the Democratic Party. So that's what makes this race a big deal. It's not to talk anybody up or anybody down. The point here isn't to say, oh, you know, Nina Turner, Chantel Brown, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, this is to really talk about this much more fundamental question of what the Democratic Party will be and how much pressure leaders in Congress will feel from their, you know, members of their caucus.
Ryan Graham, what would you add about the significance of this race?
I would say it's significant in the message that it will send to other candidates running in similar districts. So, you know, the first goal of a lot of members of Congress is just to either get elected or then to get reelected. And so if they watch this race and they see that Nina Turner can absorb more than $2 million in big dollar super PAC money getting dumped on her, can face saturated ads reiterating this the claim that she's not a real Democrat, that she's too far left, that she's not going to be a loyal soldier to Joe Biden. And on top of the millions that Chantel Brown, you know, is spending on her own behalf, which actually very cleverly super PACs have been raising for her. They've been spending dark money by sending out and spending it on text messaging and emails solicitation to get people to send money directly to Chantel Brown. So then it looks like Chantel Brown has this kind of grassroots support when in fact it was actually just purchased grassroots support. Because you can put enough, if you put enough money into Facebook and the text messaging, then you can drive, you know, you can drive money in any particular direction you want. It will be less than you put in, but it's worth it to them to have this veneer of kind of grassroots support. So in other words, if Nina Turner wins this race, despite all of this money getting spent against her, then you're going to see a lot of establishment candidates say to themselves, huh, so I am really vulnerable here, because most establishment candidates aren't going to have a $2 million super PAC helping them out. This is only happening because this particular super PAC hates anybody associated with Bernie Sanders, and B, it's a special election, so there you can spread out the, you know, you don't have to spread out your attention. So you will see a lot of kind of mainline Democrats move left if Nina Turner is able to win this one. You know, not in any kind of revolutionary sense, but, you know, a couple of ticks just trying to squeeze out space in blue districts so they don't get beaten from a progressive side, the progressive side.
And of course, money doesn't always win, but it is so important to follow the money. Ryan, your colleague, Matthew Cunningham Cook, writes that donors with long histories of support for Republican candidates are funding Chantel Brown's campaign, either directly or via the Political Action Committee, Democratic Majority for Israel. They've spent more than $800,000 on TV and digital spots. They spent $1.4 million attacking Bernie Sanders. They supported Democratic Representative Elliot Engel against the progressive Jamal Bowman. Jamal Bowman won that race. And Matthew Cunningham Cook quoted Craig Holman with Public Citizen, who said that support by the Democratic Majority for Israel is really having a major impact in Ohio because of all of these ads. So can you tell us more about the significance of this money and then the ads they're running? And then I'll ask John about some of these other donors.
Sure. And this was actually a remarkable campaign finance ethics case study, too, because in May or so, we reported at The Intercept that on Chantel Brown's website, she was effectively soliciting this particular super PAC to jump into the race and spend on her behalf, and had even put up the specific messages that they wanted this super PAC to put forward. That's quite dubious legally, but if it is legal, it's within a gray area. If it's illegal, it's because the Supreme Court with Citizens United said that people can spend as much money as they want outside of a campaign, as long as they're not coordinating with the campaign. Because if you're coordinating with the campaign, then that's corrupting, because now the candidate owes you for the millions that they just spent. It seems quite coordinated here. But in any event, it worked. Democratic Majority for Israel came into this race and is spending probably more than $2 million by the end of it, and is blanketing the airwaves with negative ads attacking Nina Turner. None of the ads and none of the mailers, none of the messaging, as far as I have been able to see, and maybe John has seen something different, has even mentioned Israel. It's not about Israel. It's kind of a front for kind of corporate democratic establishment democratic power centers that just organizes itself around this name of Democratic Majority for Israel. But all of the attacks are around domestic politics and whatever they think will work.
John, I want to get your comments on that, but we should also add that when you look at the people who fund the Democratic Majority for Israel, Stacey Schusterman's name comes up. She's an heir and chair of Samson Energy, a fossil fuel company that owns 11 oil and gas wells in Wyoming. Stacey Schusterman, according to The Intercept, donated $1.5 million to the Democratic Majority for Israel in 2019 and 2020. And then that PAC has spent all of this money supporting Chantel Brown.
Sure. And if you go down the list, and Ryan can do the same, you're going to find that this is how you really cover politics. If you want to look at, where the influence occurs. And, too frequently we tend to look and say, oh, well, this person gave this $2,800 check to that candidate. And so that's the extent of it. No, the reality is that people who give money give it through many, many different vehicles and in many, many different entry points. But we would be lying to ourselves if we suggested that candidates didn't know the reality of where those entry points are, where that critical support comes from. And at the end of the day, does that influence a specific vote? Maybe not. I mean, I'm willing to suggest to you that it doesn't always work quite like that. How it works is there is just simply an understanding of where the power is, where the ability to influence an election, influence a process lies. And a lot of that influence lies with the fossil fuel industries. It lies with folks who have a lot of money and made that money, in fossil fuel. It may be pharmaceutical industries. It may be others. But I think that Americans are out there and they'll always be like, well, but why doesn't something change? Why doesn't the process move forward? Why don't we address issues that polls say 90% of people want to see addressed? Well, this is a part of the answer to it. The fact is that in critical elections, money shows up through many, many different avenues in many, many different ways. And it causes two things to potentially happen. One, you elect someone who is going to be more likely to go along with the status quo, go along with the managerial approach that is already existing. And two, just as important, you defeat someone who might upset that approach. And that's what I would really focus on. Is it's very, very clear at this point that Nina Turner came into this race with a lot of momentum. And a lot of focus is given to the national endorsements, folks from Washington who are lining up one way or the other. It's important to understand Nina Turner is endorsed by the mayor of Cleveland. Nina Turner is endorsed by the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the major daily newspaper there. She has a lot of support from city council members and legislators and grassroots people, ministers, local unions like the Bakers Union, and things like that. So she started this thing out with, hitting the right bases, doing the right things. And yet suddenly this massive amount of outside money comes flowing in. if that upsets her, it isn't just what Ryan's saying, which is very, very accurate about the messages as regards progressives. It also is a message about, you know, somebody who runs their politics in a, you know, traditional and I think appropriate way of, you know, touching the bases, building up that grassroots support, being on the ground, doing the things that need to be done. And even when you do that, you can be upset by a massive inflow of outside money. Every politician will notice that. Every politician will recognize that, you know, that that reality exists. And it's one of the ways that the status quo asserts itself.
John Nichols is national affairs correspondent for The Nation. Ryan Grimm is D.C. bureau chief for The Intercept. Today, we are talking about the special election primary in Ohio's 11th congressional district, which includes Cleveland. 13 Democrats are on the ballot. The front runners are Nina Turner and Chantel Brown. Because this district is solidly Democratic, the winner of today's race will almost certainly go to Washington. John Nichols mentioned some of Nina Turner's supporters. She's also got support from National Nurses United, Bernie Sanders, a number of the progressive Democrats. Chantel Brown has support from Hillary Clinton, Representatives James Clyburn and Stacey Plaskett, and the Congressional Black Caucus. Ryan, there have been a number of articles out about the Congressional Black Caucus taking a stand on this race, which sometimes they don't. So what can you tell us about that, the CBC supporting Chantel Brown?
The CBC is in a fascinating place in its evolution. And to put it in context, so one of the big controversies in the House Democratic caucus over the last several years has been, you know, what the party should do about primary challenges. And this came after 2018 when Ocasio-Cortez knocked off Joe Crowley. The next year, the new Sherry Bustos ran for DCCC chair. And the way that she won the CBC support was by pledging that she would use DCCC resources to help people in primaries, to oppose Democrats who are challenging incumbent Democrats in primaries. This is a key issue for the CBC. CBC relies for its power on seniority because many of its members represent solid blue districts. They have been representing those districts for decades and have moved up the committee ranks as a result of that seniority, and they're able to use that power then to bring the bacon home back to their district. That's the theory, and it's often the practice. In St. Louis, Lacey Clay's father, William Lacey Clay Sr., was a civil rights leader, was first elected to that seat, I think, in 1970. So the Clays collectively served in that seat for 50 years until, you know, Cori Bush ousted Lacey Clay last cycle. And so now you're starting to have a significant number of CBC members who are not aligned with the old guard. I mean, you can just run down the list. You've got Johanna Hayes, you've got Mondaire Jones, you've got Ayanna Pressley, you've got Ilhan Omar, you have Cori Bush, and then you have members who are sympathetic to them, but didn't have any backup in the past. So like a Maxine Waters, Karen Bass would be another one. Betty, John from New Jersey, a very progressive CBC member from New Jersey. In any event, so you now have a split CBC. You know, this is not a monolithic operation. Despite that, you have the CBC in this race coming in and endorsing Chantel Brown against Nina Turner. Nina Turner obviously would be a CBC member if she were elected to the House of Representatives. And she said publicly, what is going on here? She said, I don't mind that, Joyce Beatty, that James Clyburn want to, endorse my opponent. I understand that. But for the entire CBC to be speaking on behalf of the Black Caucus and endorsing Chantel Brown over me. She said she thought that was, quite overly aggressive, and it certainly was not done with the support of the rest of the CBC members. Certainly, some of them supported it, but the ones I listed, I'm sure were quite unhappy to hear that. So there's a real ideological and generational struggle going on within the CBC, which has relied for its history on its solidarity, for its strength, but that is now very much threatened by this kind of fight for the soul of the party that's going on.
And John, final thoughts in our last couple minutes. We should say that Nina Turner is a backer of the Green New Deal. Chantel Brown said she supports the principles of a Green New Deal, but has not signed on to the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge. Nina Turner supports Medicare for All. She wants to get rid of private insurance, whereas Chantel Brown said she supports a public option and does not want to get rid of private insurance. What final thoughts can you leave us with the significance of today's race?
When you run down the list of issues, what you see is that both of these candidates would fit within, kind of the Democratic caucus as it's broadly defined. But when we start to talk about the realities of the Democratic caucus in Congress, we see that it has real divisions. There is a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party, and it is between progressives who support not just Medicare for All and a Green New Deal, but a whole list of initiatives that would fundamentally change how government works and put it much more on the side of working class and poor folks. And then on the other side, you have folks who actually, in many cases, are very well intended, but they are much more centrist. They're much more cautious. And that's where this race comes down to. And this is a big deal because it is a question of whether the Democratic Party is a managerial party, kind of manages the status quo as it inherits it, or if it actually seeks to change things. And the message out of Cleveland and Akron today is going to be really important in this regard. And I would, one final thought, if I could just throw it in, is that I think that it is also a question about the independence of members of Congress, whether they are just, kind of very predictable loyalists within their parties, or whether they will stand up and even object when they think their own party is wrong. I would just note that I did an interview recently with Nina Turner where we talked about this, and we talked about issues of war and peace and those most fundamental tests. And I can tell you that she is very, very passionate about taking stands against military adventures that don't need to be launched. And as we know, going back to 20 years ago, the Iraq vote, that's not every Democrat. And so these fundamental issues, these fundamental divides, and whether you're willing to even say no to your own party when it's wrong, that's where you start to get to kind of the core of whether our politics will ever change.
Important points, as always. John Nichols is national affairs correspondent for The Nation and author of many books, including The Fight for the Soul of the Democratic Party. John, thanks so much for your analysis, and thanks for joining us.
It's an honor to be on with you and with Ryan.
Thank you. Ryan Grimm is D.C. Bureau Chief for The Intercept. Ryan, thank you for your work, and thanks for joining us.
You got it. And that last book you mentioned on Wallace that John wrote is excellent. I would recommend it to people.
Yes, it is excellent. We actually had him on, and you can find a link at yourcallradio.org. And Ryan, we'd love to have you on to talk about your upcoming book. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Well, today is that race. The front runners are Nina Turner and Chantel Brown. And because this district is so blue, the winner will almost certainly go to Washington, D.C. So we'll find out who wins today, and maybe we'll mention it on Friday. Find a link at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show. Thanks to Joanne Marr for engineering our show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.